Let's pray. Dear Father, this morning, we are looking to you, we are looking to your Holy Spirit. And we are just asking that you will lead us. As we open your word, please speak to us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin this morning, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about my weed eater. So I was given this weed eater many years ago by my parents as a gift. And I had a wonderful experience with that weed eater. It worked very well. It helped me to maintain my yard. But you know, about 6 months ago or so, my weed eater started having problems. It started not working real well, and finally it didn't work at all. And I started trying to figure out what was wrong with my weed eater. And finally I came to the conclusion that my weed eater had a heart problem. The heart of my weed eater, as we will call the carburetor, just wasn't working properly. Something had happened to it. And so I pulled that little heart out and I tried to clean it up. I tried everything I could think of to clean it up, but somehow it just wouldn't work right. And so I came to the conclusion that my weed eater needed a new heart. And so I jumped online and I ordered that new heart and it finally arrived and I was happy. Because I was confident that I could just put that new heart in that weed eater and it would once again become what it was created to be. Well, I put it in and I hooked it up and I pushed that little primer bulb and I started getting concerned. And I tried to start my weed eater and it ran for about 30 seconds. And died. Now I was trying to figure out, well, what possibly could go wrong? It had a new heart. But I discovered it had another problem. It reminded me of the text where David's prayer was, "Create in me a new heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." I discovered that the problem with my weed eater was that it had a bad spirit. You see, the gas in my gas tank, when I had put it in there, it had been fresh and clean. But it had been sitting there for far too long. And as it had sat there, it had developed deposits and other noxious things in there. And I discovered that even though it had a filter, somehow the crud and the grime had gotten past that filter and the lines were all clogged up. And so I decided what my weed eater needed was a new spirit. And so the gas tank got all cleaned out, new lines, I was ready to go. And so I hooked everything up and pulled my starter, and guess what happened? Absolutely nothing. And I began to wonder, well, what happened? I had the new heart and I had the new spirit, but I discovered something. I discovered that when I hooked my new heart up to the old spirit, guess what happened to the new heart? It got all plugged up. Well, I figured, well, you know, it hadn't been there very long, so I ought to be able to fix this new heart. And so I started working on it, and I tried everything I could try, all the little parts and lines and everything in there, and you know what? I soon came to the conclusion that I couldn't fix that heart. And so I ordered a new heart. And you know what? For almost 3 months, that new heart didn't do any good. But do you know why it didn't do any good? It was sitting on a shelf at home. Why? You know, part of it was probably that I had tried the new heart before, and it hadn't really solved the problem. And perhaps I doubted whether the new heart was really the solution to the problem. But finally, last Thursday, I decided it was time. Things were getting pretty shaggy around my house. And so I picked up that new heart. And I went out, and in a short period of time, I had installed that new heart in my weed eater. And I pushed the primer, and gas began to flow, which is a wonderful sign. And I pulled the handle, and all of a sudden, my weed eater started carrying out the mission for which it had been designed. And I was happy. And I went out and I started working around my house. And 20 minutes later, guess what happened? My weed eater died. But do you know what was wrong? You know, I had put fuel in my tank and it had a new heart, but I discovered that I needed a constant supply. And so I realized that I really didn't want to use my old gas tank because I didn't want to risk having any problems with the right spirit. And so I went down to the store and I looked at the gas tanks, and there were big tanks and there were little tanks. And guess which one I bought? The little one. Why? Because I wanted to make sure that there was always a fresh supply. Because I had learned the lesson that if you don't have a constant fresh supply, the heart is in danger of getting plugged up. And I wanted to make sure I was dealing with a new heart and a right spirit. I'd like for you to turn with me to Zechariah chapter 4. It's an amazing and incredible passage. As we transition from a weed eater's heart to our hearts, Zechariah chapter 4. He starts in verse 1, he says, "The angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who is wakened out of his sleep." And as I looked at that, I realized the inference here was that he was actually not asleep initially. But it was like he was all of a sudden more awake than he had been. Somehow this angel had come to say there was something new, something fresh, a new experience. And he said to Zechariah, "What do you see?" And Zechariah said, "I'm looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it. One at the right of the bowl, and the other at its left." God's people have been called to come back and rebuild His church. The children of Israel had been carried off into Babylon. They had become corrupted. The Spirit had ceased to flow. But now, God was calling His church out of Babylon. God was calling His church back. He was calling them to a time of rebuilding. It was time for the sanctuary to be restored. And it was time for God's people to be brought back. And now Zechariah is looking at this vision. This solid gold lampstand, the bowl on top of it, the two olive trees by it, one at the right and one at the left. And as he looked at this, he asked the angel a question. He said, "What are these?" And the angel said, "You don't know what these are?" He said, "No, I don't." And as the angel gave him the response, the question, "What are these?" The answer came back in short. The answer to your problem, the answer to your challenge of rebuilding, of restoring, is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So Zechariah, your challenge of rebuilding, the answer is not superior knowledge. The answer is not necessarily skilled workmen. The ultimate answer to your challenge is the flow of my Spirit through you and through your church. You see, it's not by excellent schemes or plans. It's not ultimately by running the right programs. It's not by having talented people around to do the work. The answer is not by might, and it's not by power. The answer is by the Spirit of God flowing through us. And so we go on into the story, and Zechariah is still asking these questions. He's gotten the summary. But he's asking, what are these two olive trees at the right of the lampstand and of its left? He went on and asked, what are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains? And as he got the answer, he realized that there was something special about this lampstand. You see, in the Old Testament sanctuary, there was a candlestick in the sanctuary. And every morning the priests would come and they would refill the lampstands. Day after day after day, that lampstand had to be refilled. But what was unique about this one was that it was connected to a steady supply, an ongoing consistent supply. These two olive trees. I was fascinated as I looked at this text. As the question, what are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles? If that had been translated literally in our Bibles, it would have said the hands of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains. And all of a sudden, we start seeing this picture of hands reached out, constantly being filled by the golden oil, the Holy Spirit from heaven, constantly being supplied. I'd like for you to consider this statement. Testimonies to the Church, Volume 6, page 11. God's people are to be the channels for the outworking of the highest influence in the universe. I had to stop for a moment as I read that. God's people are to be the channels for the outworking of the highest influence in the universe. In Zechariah's vision, the two olive trees which stand before God are represented as emptying the golden oil out of themselves through the golden tubes into the bowl of the sanctuary. From this, the lamps of the sanctuary are fed. that they may give a continuous, bright, and shining light. So from the anointed ones that stand in God's presence, the fullness of divine light and love and power is imparted to His people, that they may impart to others light and joy and refreshing. They are to become channels through which divine instrumentalities communicate to the world the tide of God's love. It's an amazing thought that God has given us the privilege of being the channels through which His power flows to the universe. And then consider this statement. The capacity for receiving the holy oil from the two olive trees which empty themselves is by the receiver emptying that holy oil out of himself in word and in action to supply the necessities of other souls. Work, precious, satisfying work, to be constantly receiving and constantly imparting. The capacity for receiving is only kept by imparting. You see, I don't want your heart or my heart to have the same problem that my weed eater's heart had. And what was the problem? It had received, but by not having a constant flow through it, it got plugged up. We must be giving. We must be imparting. We must be sharing if we expect the oil to continually flow in a fresh way from heaven. Our greatest need is to be sharing. As I thought about this, I realized the problem with some who say, well, I'll just sit at home and watch the preacher. What happens? Admittedly, the preacher on the TV stands a much better chance of being better than the preacher at church. But what's the problem? If you are receiving, but you are not giving, you are in danger of becoming stagnant. And even the oil that's flowing is going to be mixed with corrupted oil. And ultimately, your spiritual heart is going to begin to have problems. We need a fresh experience. I'm reminded of the story of this family that had an amazing experience with God. And they said to themselves, we want to make sure that we never forget our experience. And so they wrote it down. And they carefully wrote it out and they stored it in this special place up in the attic. And every time somebody would come to visit, they would send the children up to get their blessed experience. And the children would go and they would bring it down and they would share this blessed experience with the visitor. And one day a new pastor came to town and came and knocked on their door, and they eagerly sent the children up so that they could retrieve this blessed experience. And a short while later, the children came running down with a very concerned expression on their faces. And they announced, the rats have eaten our blessed experience. If we are not careful, if we do not have an ongoing new experience, the rats of time are going to eat our blessed experience. It's good to have memories of the past, but it's crucial that we have current memories as well. Imagine a couple sitting down to eat. And as they sit there, the wife has carefully prepared a meal. And they're sitting there eating, and the husband starts talking about this meal that they had had 10 years ago. And the next day, the same thing happens. He's talking about 10 years ago. What's going to happen? They're going to be in counseling pretty soon. What's the problem? A focus on an experience of 10 years past is not sufficient to maintain a relationship today. What is your relationship with Jesus like today? If you'd like to test it out, ask yourself what you're talking about today compared to what you were talking about a year ago. If you really want to challenge yourself, ask what you were talking about a month ago or even a week ago. If you're still focusing on the same things, if you're still repeating the same things that you were repeating, I would suggest that you need a new connection. You need a new flow of oil. You need that vital connection with heaven. Because if we are still repeating the same things, we are in danger of becoming stagnant in our spiritual experience with God. And then I think about our church. How can we make sure that we do not stagnate as a church? How can we make sure that we remain vital and alive a year from now, 2 years from now, as long as we need to until Jesus comes? What will help us to have a real experience? As I thought about that, I realized our great need is that golden oil from heaven. We need to make sure we have a constant flow of oil. As I read my Bible, I find that we are called to be the repairers of the breach. The enemy has come in and he has damaged that relationship. We are called to restore it. We are called to give that Elijah message that prepares the way of the Lord. The pathway for God to come in, not only to our personal lives, but to the people around us. We need to give that message. I look in the book of Revelation and we discover that as a church we are called to give the three angels' messages. The message, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The announcement that the hour of ultimate reconciliation and judgment has come. The announcement that there is truth and there is error. That there is falsehood out there that must be avoided. And there is practices that we must not enter into or we will lose out on a powerful relationship with Jesus Christ. We are called to give the message, but how will this message be given? As I have studied into this golden oil, there is a realization that if we give the truth without the empowering power of the Holy Spirit, the truth will not find its way to the heart. It's not enough for me to know how to explain and prove the doctrines that I believe. We must have that Holy Spirit, that new vital experience, so that as we share with people the truths that we have, it's backed up by an experience, a current experience with Jesus, so that we can share with them, this has made a difference in my life. And I don't want to have to go to somebody and say, well, this made a difference in my life 10 years ago. What they want to know is, does it still work? Is it still current? To this day, to this time, is this message still one that makes a difference in the lives of God's people? And my desire is for each one of us to have such a real and vital experience. For that connection with the Holy Spirit to be so real that we will have no doubt, but that we can say, I know it works because yesterday I had an experience with Jesus. Yesterday I discovered anew the blessing of having a connection with heaven. And so as I have thought about our church, I've asked the question, how can we be sure that this heavenly oil flows? I've thought of three ways in which we can make sure the Holy Spirit flows. I'm giving you an outline, but I would like for you as a church to let me know how you believe we can most effectively accomplish the task. And so again, this morning I'm giving you the outline. I'd like for you to fill it in. Number one, personal connections. As I study this subject of the heavenly oil flowing through, I realize the more the oil flows, the more vital the experience. And so if the oil is flowing through three of us in the congregation, we will have a threefold experience. If the oil is flowing through 10 of us, we will have a tenfold. If it's 200 of us, we are going to have a blazing, exciting fire. And so personal connections must be at the heart of who we are as a church. It is as we interact with one another that the oil flows. It is as we get to know each other that we find out what the real needs are and how we can best meet those needs. It's as we go out to those who have become cold and we give them the encouragement and the assurance that that new heart that God is offering will truly work. And we encourage them to have that new heart and that new spirit and to once again experience the power of the Holy Spirit. It is then that God will enable this church to grow and become what God wants it to be. And then as we go out to our community and we connect with our community and we find out what the needs are and we use Christ's method by going out, mingling, meeting their needs, letting them know that we truly care about them. As the golden oil flows through us, we are going to see amazing things happen in our community. Personal connections will lead to a purposeful mission. We as a church enjoy being able to produce a lot of programs. And I believe there is a purpose for the programs. And the purpose for the program is to encourage the personal connections. But the purpose for the programs is to enable that oil to flow as far and as wide as it can possibly flow. As the Holy Spirit moves through us. And our mission is guided and moved by those personal connections. We are going to find even more new and meaningful ways to be able to reach the hearts of the people. And we will see people transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. The third element is positive presentation. So what does that mean? Number one, whenever anyone encounters us, I want them to be able to tell that we are Spirit-filled people. When people come to us and they look at us, my desire is that they will see us and they will know you are different. You are a unique people. You are people whose number one goal is to point the attention of others to Jesus Christ. My desire is, as even as a church facility, that is, when people come here and they look around, they say, this is a people who really, truly want to represent Jesus in the best way possible. Our goal is not to impress, because if you make too big of an impression with the facility, it can be a distraction. But our goal is to have a place where people, when people come here, they are attracted to Jesus, and they want to get to know Him. And so the question is, how can this mission be accomplished? I've been looking at the mission. And I'll be honest with you, as I looked at the breadth of the work that needs to be done, my first impression was to start getting a little bit overwhelmed. And then I realized it's not by might. And it's not by power. But it's by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And so we don't need to worry about how big the mission is, as long as we see how big our God is and how much He is able to do in our lives. So you may be asking, what can I do? How can I be a part of this mission? How can the oil flow? Number one, pray. Pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Pray for your pastors, because we need the Holy Spirit to be flowing through us in ways beyond anything we have ever imagined before. Pray for your church leadership. I am thankful to have a dedicated team of leaders in this church. I would encourage you to continue your prayers for them as they reach out and seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Pray for every member of this church, because the more we are Spirit-led, the more God will be able to work through us. And so number one, it is prayer. Number two, make sure the Holy Spirit is flowing through you. Make sure there's nothing that is plugging up the way. Make sure your spirit isn't blocked up by things that are keeping the Holy Spirit from being able to have that full and complete access and vitality in your life. And as we pray, as we open our Bibles and we allow that Spirit to flow through us, exciting things will happen. It is a privilege to be a part of this church. I'd invite the song team to come up and join me here. Because as I have pondered this golden oil, the one thing that is uppermost in my mind is that we need to be inviting the Holy Spirit to come, to flow through us, to let us know that there is far more that can happen than we have ever imagined before. It is my prayer that this week you will experience the fresh anointing that will fill you to overflowing with the Spirit of God. May God bless you today.